Golf Smarter number 382, published on April 30th, 2013, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. And by Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. Alpha Brain can help the body deliver oxygen and nutrients to the brain, which assists your system in clearing away mental fog for an extraordinary combination of mental drive, focus, and mental acuity. Learn more by clicking the Alpha Brain ad at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
How to make every putt with Zen Golf author Dr. Joseph Parent.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to Golf Smarter, Dr. Joe.
Hi, Fred. Great to be here.
It is great to have you back. As we've had you many times, you are the most regular of our regular guests. And it's mainly because that your first book, Zen Golf, led me to this podcast, honestly. I mean, what it meant to me and on the bigger picture made me think in a whole different way and launched this podcast and the questions behind this podcast. It was definitely from Zen Golf. So, again,
well, thank you, Fred. It was a pleasure being on that first podcast, and I appreciate how much you connected with Zen Golf. Every time we've talked, you've really shown that you understood it and understood where I was coming from. And it's been very gratifying how many golfers have really appreciated Zen Golf. I get a lot of emails thanking me for writing the book, and it's been 11 years since the book came out. And it has stayed pretty consistently in the top five of all golf books throughout that time, which is remarkable for a little book on the Eastern wisdom and Western psychology principles of getting out of your own way and playing your best golf as much as you possibly can.
And that is why it's probably the most successful golf mental book in history, right?
It seems that way, certainly in the last decade, and it's really been a great phenomenon that I really didn't expect when I first wrote it, but it's been consistently in the top five and in mental game golf books and in all golf books for the last decade. So that's been great. And you know, it came out 11 years ago, and it's still near the top of the charts. So
awesome.
Got lasting power. I really appreciate your how much you connected with it and how much it meant to you and the feedback that I've gotten from people about it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, there's a new book out. And as soon as I saw the title, I went, we've talked about this. The title of the new book, How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game. So How to Make Every Putt is a line that you have said on this show. You know, you made the putt, you just didn't hole it, right? Is that where we're going with this?
That is the basic principle. You know, I've gotten some very nice reviews about the book already, and a couple of them mention, they say it's a presumptuous title, or it's a, you know, what does that mean? How to make every putt. And I made that the title because I wanted to intrigue people and say, is that possible? Well, it's possible if you change the definition of making a putt and separate out making and holing. So if you got the putt started just the way you wanted, and we know what that feels like when it leaves the putter face and we say, oh yeah, I really like the way I got that one started, then you made your putt. If it's on the line you chose, at the pace you chose, with a good roll coming off the sweet spot of the putter, then you made your putt. Then you see what happens, and if it goes in, then you hold your putt. So we separate making and holding. It's highly unlikely that you're going to hole every putt, but you can make every putt, and you want your confidence to be based on your execution, not so much on the outcome, because we're not dealing with a perfect surface. You know, the on the PGA Tour average, and this is a group of the best golfers in the world, the PGA Tour average from 8 feet is only 50%.
Amazing.
So if you say, you know, these guys, they're not that good. They miss half their putts from only 8 feet away.
I can do that.
That doesn't sound very, that's not a confidence builder.
Right.
So, and to have your expectations, I have a chapter in the book about lowering your expectations. If you think that you should hole every putt from 8 feet, you're going to be pretty frustrated since the best golfers in the world only hole half of them.
Yeah,
so
lower
your expectations and focus more on building your confidence based on how you get the ball started. And then if you get the ball started the way you want to, the only thing you need to adjust is how well you read the putts and how well you gauge the feel of the pace.
And that's what this book is about.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's a bigger picture to all of this, and that is that our expectations on our game is always probably set a little too high. And leads to disappointment and frustration.
Probably true, and more with putting than anything else. I don't think we really compare ourselves so much to the pros when it comes to tee shots. Not many people I know hit the ball 300 yards, so it's not too realistic to compare ourselves to the pros. Now, hitting greens, well, most of what we see on TV are pros that do hit the greens, but we have to remember, the clubs that they hit into the greens are usually shorter than the ones that the average middle to high handicapper plays. So we really can't have that much expectation. But putting, come on, there's the ball, there's some grass, it's the hole. It doesn't take strength, it doesn't take that much skill or coordination. That's where we start to compare ourselves to the pros. And the problem comes in with telecasts. Golf telecast. Mostly we watch golf on TV. And if you watch golf on TV, you see mainly the guys who are leading and mainly the ones who are sinking putts.
Right. Let's go back to 13 now, his 60-footer. And, of course, it's a replay of something that's already happened, so they've already vetted that shot. They're not going to show you they'll show you a miss if it's 2 feet, but they won't show you a miss if it's 8 feet.
So they'll show you the leaders, and then if you see a guy who's not in contention, and as you said, has about a 60-footer across the green, bet your friends that he's going to hole it, because the only reason they're showing the guy is because they're going to show him holing a putt.
Right.
So you see putts going in all the time on TV, and then when yours don't go in at that frequency, you start to get frustrated. Be more realistic and focus more on how good it feels to get the putt started, and realize on a 20-footer, you know, maybe one out of 10 or 12 is all at the pros hole. So when yours goes in, get excited. When it gets close, feel like, hey, I did a good job. I rolled a good putt there.
Right, right. And it's interesting because, you know, when you talk about a level playing field with the pros, it's the place – I feel that putting is the place that if somebody's interested in getting started playing golf, that's where you should take them, is a practice putting green, not a driving range. Because the driving range can be so frustrating because you're not hitting the ball. But even a 5-year-old can put the ball in the cup, right?
I like to teach, when I teach beginners, I do something that Harvey Penick said the same thing. And you know, the objective of the game is to get the ball in the hole. So start with that and work your way back.
Well, I taught Harvey everything he knows.
That's good. so we do want to, I like to teach it backwards. So you work starting with a 2-foot putt. In fact, a tap in, there's a chapter in How to Make Every Putt called Turning Knee Knockers into Tap Ins. And I put something similar in Zen Putting, and that is that your little tap-in stroke, it's free of worry, it's free of care. You just make a little swipe, you know, a little back and through with the putter, and often it represents your best putting stroke. So when you get 4 feet away from the hole, you make your tap-in stroke, it's usually enough to get it all the way to the hole. You'll find you're making your best stroke that way. So we start with a tap in and work our way back. And and then you work to long putts. And then if I'm teaching somebody golf, then I start teaching them with, oh, say, an 8-iron from just off the green. But I have them make a putting stroke with that. And they begin to see that the ball goes in the air without them helping it in the air, just by making a putting stroke along the surface with their 8-iron, and then a pitching wedge. And then they start to get the idea, oh, I just send the club through the grass under the ball, and that's what lifts the ball in the air. I don't have to help it up. Because helping the ball in the air is the most common cause of fat shots and topped shots.
Yep. Yep. It's so true. To me, the ball going in the cup, that's what I call the happy sound. I mean, that's what I'm looking for. I got to hear the happy sound. I'll tap it in. Don't give it to me.
In fact, I tell people in their warm-up for going out before they play, the last thing they should do is putt a few two-footers, because you're not going to miss too many of those. And so you'll have a feeling of confidence of both making your putt and holding your putt. And you get to hear that sound again and again and again. And it's very reinforcing and confidence building.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish we would have had that conversation last week, because I should have done a couple more two footers before my round. I feel that I have a decent mental game because I'm a practitioner of Zen golf and all that you have taught me in your books. But when I get frustrated, you know, I can let it go. I can let it go. That's fine. If something happens, it's out of my control, I'll start laughing about it instead of screaming and throwing things. But last week, I was playing with a friend, par three. I hit a great gap wedge shot, right, leaves me 4 foot from the cup. I was so excited because my friend put the ball in the water, then he put one off the green. I three putted from 4 feet, and I cannot let it go. That is the one thing I've been still frustrated about that round, is I three putted from 4 feet.
Clearly you can't let it go.
Right.
Now let me guess. You didn't leave it short.
No.
On the first one.
Nope. On any of them.
I got it. So, you know, you you might have decided, "Oh, I'm not sure if there's any break. I'm going to just aim at the hole and hit it a little extra firm and make sure I don't take out any break." Mm-hmm. And then zoom, it goes by.
Mm-hmm.
And then you try it again.
Mm-hmm.
And well, at least you didn't four putt. You know, that's the bright side.
Well, there you go. Okay, I feel so much better.
No, you know, in Zen golf, there's that chapter where I tell the story about the two monks walking down the road, and in their monastery, they've taken a vow of celibacy and also not to even make contact with women, but they meet this woman in a beautiful silk kimono who's trying to cross the stream. And one of the monks says, "Well, climb on my back. I'll take you across." And he takes her across the stream, and she thanks him, and they go on their way. And the other monk is very, very upset. And he's thinking, how could my brother have violated his vow, and how could he do this? And am I going to get in trouble if I tell on him, and then I'm kind of a rat, and I don't want to do that. But if I don't tell on him and people find out, then I'll get in trouble. And he gets all worked up and upset. And about half a mile down the road, he screams out, "How could you do that?" And the first monk says, "Do what?" And he says, "That woman." He said, "Oh, her. I set her down when we crossed the stream. Why, my brother, are you still carrying her?" So, Brad, I want you to encourage you. You know, what's done is done, and set it down at the end of that round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to move on.
Okay.
I have a good friend who says, he says, you know, we think about the past and we run it through in our minds again and again as if we could change it.
Yeah.
As if thinking about it is going to make it any different. Well, it's not.
Right.
So you have to say, okay, what can I learn from that? What I can learn from that is I have to treat a 4-foot putt just like any other putt. And on any other putt, you don't want to run it 4 feet by. You want it to go at a pace that it's going to take it no more than a foot, foot and a half past. Got it?
I do. And I appreciate it. I promise from now on I'm going to be putting in a great silk kimono.
Good plan. That's a good plan.
And let me take a quick break here because this episode of the Golf Smarter podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. And one or two or even three audiobooks to consider are by the gentleman who is our guest today. And that's what I'm so excited about, doing an Audible spot with you, Dr. Joe, because your first three books, Zen Golf, Zen Putting, and Golf, The Art of the Mental Game, 100 Tips, are all audiobooks, correct?
That is correct. And I had the opportunity to read them myself.
Ooh, so how was that?
You'll hear my voice. Well, you know, when I was a young man, I was in theater as well, so okay. I had some experience with performing, and when the opportunity to produce the audiobooks came up, they said, well, you know, why don't you read them if that's something you know how to do? So I can promise you that if you listen to the audiobooks, it will convey the meaning that I intend in writing it. And a lot of people say that they've actually gotten more out of listening to the audiobooks than reading them, because they really hear what I'm emphasizing and how I'm communicating verbally, in the same way that they're going to be hearing this podcast rather than just reading about it.
And that's one of the amazing things about audiobooks is I love when audiobooks have the author reading it because, I mean, The Kite Runner. I read that one. I did that as an audiobook, and I couldn't pronounce those names and would have been totally frustrated if I had to read it. But having the author read it to me, it really put me in the place, knowing where it was. So, yeah, I love when authors read, especially biographies and things like that. But you did all three of them?
I read all three of them.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Well, you can pick any one of those, and it'll be the free book of your choice. All you have to do is sign up for a new account, and then you'll have access to 100,000 titles. To get that free audiobook of your choice as your first one, please go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Audible is spelled A-U-D as in David, I-B as in boy, L-E, A-U-D-I-B-L-E, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. And we thank them so much for their ongoing support of this podcast. Okay, Doc. Now, let's talk about some of the chapters in this book. Let's talk about the things that we can learn from this book, that we're going to take away from this book. And before we do that, I just want to commend you on this awesome element that you've included at the end of every chapter. You have QR codes that when you scan it with your something or your pocket phone pad, whatever one you're using.
Smartphone or
device, tablet. When you scan that, it'll pop up a video that shows you basically what the tip you've been trying to give in that chapter.
That's right. We awesome. Don't have for every single chapter, but many of them have these QR codes. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of the chapters, the way the chapters are formatted, most of them have a challenge. It talks about one of the challenges of putting and the solution that I provide, and often an exercise, a drill or a demonstration. So these drills or demonstrations are what we have videos of on my zengolf.com website, and they're also on YouTube. And what will happen is when you scan the QR code at the end of the chapter, it'll take you immediately to the video on our site. It'll take a little bit to download. So what I recommend is people scan it in first, then read the chapter. By the time they're done reading the chapter, it'll be loaded on their computer, and they'll be able, on their smartphone or device, and they'll be able to play it and see me demonstrating that particular tip, that particular drill for that chapter. On the ebook, I don't think we're going to have the QR squares because you have your ebook right there, but it will have a link to that very same video.
Oh, fabulous. And how long are the videos?
anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute. I think a minute and a half is the longest one. So they're very short.
Yep.
You know, the book is written for our modern generation. No chapter is more than 2 pages. So I make the point, I get to the point, and then go to the next one. And the videos are the same. They're just very brief drills and demonstrations of what's in the chapter.
Sounds like the keeping the, which I appreciate greatly, keeping the chapters short, that was something that you thought well in advance to make sure that you did?
That was a planned part of the format. And I had to edit some of them down, and it was a great exercise because it really, it made me take out any extra stuff, any fluff. You know, it's just really the key points, raising the questions that golfers have about putting, answering that question, giving them drills and exercises to do. So 1, 2, 3 and move on.
And this book is not just a Zen golf type of putting instruction book. You give actual, you know, physical things to do beyond what's in your head to make you a better putter.
Yeah, we include some elements of the stroke in here, and I developed those in conjunction with people working on the mechanics of putting. But also, you know, I work with a lot of different instructors and a lot of scientists who worked on the mechanics through, I think, there's all these putting monitors that they have nowadays that they and they've come up with really what some of the key elements are. So I include a few of those, but I also include options because it is really more of an art than strictly a science. So when we talk about the grip, I include lots of different ways of holding the putter and talk about the fundamental motions. They're not that different. But the key is that you want the putter face to be sending the ball directly on a line perpendicular to the way that face is set up at address. And whatever gets the putter back to that point, that's not a glancing blow, but that the putter head is moving down the same line and the face stays square to that line at impact. Before or after, it's not as important as at impact. That's going to send the ball where the putter's pointing. And that's really a key element in the routine that I teach.
But it's more than just the stroke. You get into elements. And what I'd like to do is if I throw out a topic, if you can just go ahead and run with it, and I'll pull from the book.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I would love to do that. And we don't have a ton of time left for this episode, but would you be able to stick around and we'll do a members-only episode and we can get into a lot more depth in the book?
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Let's do a few now, though.
Okay, let's do a few now. No,
Definitely want to get them going on the routine.
Oh, absolutely. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's talk about the shot routine.
Okay, the most important thing is to separate out the elements. And this is what most people don't do in their putting routines. You have to separate out the elements. So when you've taken your practice stroke and you're ready to address the ball, you have to be done with thinking about how you're going to make that stroke. You have to be finished with that and say, okay, that's the stroke I'm going to put on it. And I give some ideas in how to make every putt of how to go about finding your best stroke. Then, when you set the putter and you've taken your stance, you have to be done with direction. You don't want to be pushing or pulling any putts. So you make a commitment to use your stroke to send the ball on the line where that putter's pointing at address. No push, no pull. There's a chapter called Every Putt Starts as a Straight Putt, and that's really what you want to do. The third thing is to connect with the distance. And only look for pace, for the feel, for the distance, and take a good long look. Don't just glance at the hole and then guess how big a stroke to make. Let your visual connection with the distance imprint that distance as you look at the hole, or maybe you're not looking at the hole, maybe you're looking at a point on the green that you're putting toward, and connect with that distance, how uphill or downhill, how slow or fast the green is, and really let that sink into your eyes. And your eye-hand coordination will tell your body how big a stroke to make. And that's really the key part of the routine, that you imprint the picture and then you roll it into the picture that you've imprinted. So you're clear on your stroke, then you're done with thinking about that. You're clear on your read, you're done with thinking about that, and then you only stroke it for the pace.
When I take a putt, I'll look at it from different angles, mostly from behind the ball towards the hole, and then I go to the other side and look from the hole towards the ball, looking for the angle that I'm looking at. And then one of the things that I do, and I'm going to ask you this, I start at either the hole or the ball, and I count how many steps, and I generally think of each step as 1 yard. I count, you know, how many feet do I have, so I can get that in my head too. Is that a hindrance? Is this overkill?
Well, that's a good question. I think it has to do with people's personality. Some people, it gives them an assurance, and they feel like, I know this putt. I know what a 14 footer feels like. I know what a 22 footer feels like. Now you have to make some adjustments for uphill or downhill, so it can get kind of complicated. But for some people, that might be very helpful and reassuring. Somebody who does a lot of technical work, like editing and producing podcasts, somebody like that, it might be very helpful for.
What are you implying?
But for somebody else, it might add a complication, and it just might clog their brain, and they're thinking about too many things. Mm-hmm. So if you're playing catch with somebody and you need to toss a ball to them, do you have to count? Do you have to pace off how far away they are before you toss the ball to them?
No.
Not really.
No.
What you do is you look at their glove or whatever, their hands they're holding up, and what your eyes see, your brain translates to a message to your muscles to throw it this hard to carry that distance. That's really all we're trying to do with putting.
Well, when the golf hole is able to move around to catch my ball the way somebody with a glove can do, then I'll be happy not to count it out.
Well, you know, when they're 40 feet away and the hole is 40 feet away, all you're trying to do is throw it somewhere close to their glove. And that's all you're trying to do is get it up there somewhat close to the hole. Now,
right.
Really, that's not my philosophy. On long lag putts, I still want you to try to be holing it. I want you to roll the putt in a way that it's going to finish and you see how it's going to go in the hole. Because, you know, if you just barely miss a 4.25-inch hole, it's a pretty easy putt. But if you picture, you know, like some people teach, picture a 3-foot circle around the hole. If you miss that, then you've got to face a little longer putt. So I'd rather try to get closer, and you know, smaller targets, smaller misses.
Yeah, and the visualization aspect of it is now we're getting back into the Zen part of putting. Right.
Yeah, you want to picture how the ball rolls, and you can run your eyes. You know, I have a good friend, Craig Farnsworth, who is an eye doctor.
Dr. Farnsworth on putting,
yeah,
down, and he's at La Quinta.
Yes, that's right. And he talks about running your eyes along the path that you see the ball is going to take in real time,
mm-hmm,
which I really like that.
I do, too.
And it imprints it more in your mind so that you have a picture. So you don't have just a snapshot. But you have a video in your mind of the ball rolling out to the hole. And it includes a sense of how fast the pace needs to be when it starts. You know, when you start a straight downhill putt, it doesn't have to be going very fast at the start. And it's going to hold its speed all the way to the hole. But when you're looking at a straight uphill putt, you have to give it a pretty good go at the beginning, and it's going to be rolling pretty fast the first part of the putt and then slow down as it gets to the hole. So you have to be able to picture all of that. Once you can picture that, then you just give your body that message and let it produce that picture and roll the ball into that picture.
Awesome. Well, I want to talk to you about, in our next episode, we're going to talk about reading greens.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the best putting routine ever, which you kind of teased a little bit ago.
I gave you a little summary of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then I have questions about things that you said about, you know, laying the scorecard over the hole or looking at the hole versus looking at the ball. So I want to go, I want to get into those things.
Okay.
For our members only episode, which we'll publish up next. And I just want to thank also Gotham Books. That's your publisher, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, I want to thank them because they sent me two extra copies of the book. I'm keeping one for myself. But I want to let our listeners know that the first two, and that's all I can do here, the first two people to sign up for Golf Smarter for members only for the North American Plan B will not only get a box of Dixon Wind eco-friendly golf balls, but you, for that same amount, you'll also receive, the first two, you'll receive a brand new copy hardback of How to Make Every Putt, The Secret to Winning Golf's Game Within the Game by Dr. Joseph Parent. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
Sounds good. All right. So thanks again. And we'll have you back on our members only episode coming up next week.
Thanks very much, Fred. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Again, let me reiterate a couple of these things. First, Dr. Parent's book is going to be released on May 6th, even though we got a head start. I think we have the world exclusive on talking to Dr. Parent about this book before the book comes out. So I'm very excited about that, and I appreciate his continued support. You can order it via Amazon, either the hardback or the digital copy, from our Golfers Mart at golfsmarter.com when it does come out. Next, those first two listeners to join Golf Smarter for members only, Plan B, will not only become part of the global community of golfers who get a new full episode every week, they'll also receive that hardback copy of How to Make Every Putt and will include a box of Dixon Wind balls with the Golf Smarter logo. Golf Smarter members also have complete access to our archives of interesting, educational, and hopefully entertaining podcasts that include 9 other episodes with Dr. Parent. Episode number 1, episode number 300, 2 members-only episodes. So there's a lot from Dr. Parent. If you're a fan like I am of his work, then you should definitely join so you can hear all these other shows. And then you'll discover a lot of great conversations. Look up Fred Shoemaker. If you've not heard, if you're into that part of golf, look up Fred Shoemaker episodes and listen to those because they're spectacular. Now, this book offer is extremely limited. You must sign up for Plan B and must be signing up from the continental United States. I'm sorry for making those caveats, but I have to. Now, speaking of members only, this past week, two of our newest Golf Smarter members who signed up for Plan B are Stephen Bird of Taylorsville, Utah, and Nick Martinez of Murray, Utah. You guys know each other? How cool would that be that you signed up together? Thank you. In addition to the Dixon Wind eco-friendly long-distance balls, these two Golf Smarter members are each going to receive a free 30-count bottle of Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. I can read you a lot of technical scientific gobbledygook about why Alpha Brain works especially well for golfers, but I'd rather share with you my own personal testimonial. Alpha Brain is working for me. I can go on. I will go on. And it's working well. Last week, I went out to play Stone Tree, which is a fairly tough track here in Novato. I was Novato, not Nevada. I was really excited about going out because my new swing feels like it's really coming together. So I took 2 Alpha Brain capsules before my warm-up, hit the ball well during practice, and had some good strokes on the practice putting green as well. Then I went out and lost 3 balls and was 5 over after the first 2 holes. Time for a meltdown? Screaming, throwing clubs, punching out my playing partner? Going home? No, I stayed calm, focused on what I had to do next, and bared down. Knowing how my monkey mind can run amok, and if you've been listening regularly, you've heard it too, I'm happy to say that even though I didn't have an earth-shattering round, I didn't let those first 2 holes kill me, and I went home happy how the whole thing turned out. Except for number 10. Alpha Brain works well for me and PGA Tour Pro Matt Every. So maybe it can work for you too. Get 10% off your order with the checkout code GOLFSMARTER. If you order the 90-count bottle using the Golf Smarter checkout code, you'll get the 10% discount and free gifts, including a new golf towel. That's Alpha Brain by Onnit Labs. Click on the Alpha Brain ad at golfsmarter.com to find out more. Next up, for members only, Dr. Joe returns for part two as we dig deeper into his new book, How to Make Every Putt. Also coming up soon, by request, two episodes with former tour player and PGA teaching pro John Lag Erickson. I had to ask him, where did the nickname Lag come from? Because you said you were a bad putter. And he tells us. He joins me right here in the studio for two episodes. Then we'll get introduced to some interesting people and new products as I take a walking tour of the Hagen Oaks Demo Day, the largest weekend demo day in the United States. A lot of fun. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.